Caitlin didn't transfer to school on Earth just because of the music program at WPI. She told him, softly, just to be certain it wouldn't carry if anyone had come home and they'd failed to notice. She left New Avalon to get away from Mike Carpenter. Corwin frowned. "I knew he had something to do with it," he said angrily. "I always thought he was kind of an asshole, but Dad said it was just because I'm so close to Kate that I was jealous. What the hell did he..." The color drained away from Corwin's face as something linked up behind his eyes. "No," he murmured. Utina watched him follow the thread to its conclusion, decided that Corwin was capable of handling an explanation every bit as blunt as Utina was capable of making it, and said, "Last year, he decided to see how much control he really had and told her to give up music." She closed her eyes, took a deep breath, and then opened them and continued. "When she refused, he raped her." Corwin stared at Utina for several seconds, his face utterly blank. Then, slowly, with the awful inevitability of machine tools, his hands curled, closed, knotted into fists. Utina had never noticed before how big his hands were compared to the rest of him. Hands he would have to grow into, like a German shepherd puppy's paws. They had big, bony knuckles that now jutted out like white spurs of bone. Something gleamed behind the pale blue of his eyes, something ancient and awful, climbing up out of the primeval heart of him to look with naked hatred through his eyes. "I'll kill him," he said, his voice incredibly quiet for the amount of energy that was packed into it. He lapsed into another language, a rolling, consonant-rich tongue that was faster paced than standard, and muttered, though Utina couldn't understand him, "I'll tear out his heart and feed it to the dogs of Jotunheim. I'll strew his entrails across the peaks of the Tindalos for the ravens of hell to feast upon. His head will decorate a pikestaff at the gates of the Golden City. He will walk among the damned and dishonored on the final day, and I will find him among their legions, and I will kill him again! This I..." Pow! Corwin staggered. For an instant, it looked like he would counterattack, his left fist drawing back as he recovered his footing. Then he blinked, the sharp pain in his right cheek breaking the spell he'd been under, and dropped his hands slack to his sides. Utina, ignoring her smarting hand, grabbed his shoulders and looked full into his face, her eyes intense. "Get a hold of yourself," she commanded him, her voice quiet but firm. "Caitlin doesn't want anyone to kill him. We've already been through that. Why do you think I let him live?" Corwin looked right back at her, not flinching, not blushing now, with more important things on his mind. He rose again in her estimation as, with a visible effort of will, he put aside whatever thoughts he'd been giving voice to in that strange tongue, nodded solemnly, and said, "I understand." "Promise you won't try to find him?" "Kate said she wants him left alone." Utina nodded. "She says there's been enough suffering already." Corwin considered this, sighed deeply, and again nodded gravely. "Then I'll make you that promise. I won't go against her will." He took a deep, uneven breath. "So that's why she freaked out at the mall. She saw him there. We all thought he'd moved to Missouri. Ymir's bones, what are we going to do? The others will be home soon. Even if Hammer doesn't say anything and nobody else saw you fighting with him, we'll have to explain what's wrong with Kate somehow. But we can't just tell everybody what happened." Utina shook her head. "No, it's not ours to tell," she agreed, unconsciously echoing something Kate had said about Utina's own life story. "I won't speak of it to anyone without Kate's permission." "No," Corwin agreed. "But what are we going to do?" he repeated. "I don't know," Utina admitted. Right now, we're going to go back in there and do what we can to help her get through this. After that... She shrugged. We'll see. Corwin's still pale face, except for the slap mark on his right cheek, took on a look of determination, and he nodded. They went back inside to find Kate now lying down on her bed, looking up at the ceiling, cuddling Seven in one arm and Nall in the other. It was plain from the look on Nall's little face that he'd been told. He lay quiet and pensive, not complaining about sharing the job with a stuffed toy. Utina got up where she'd been before. After a moment's hesitation, Corwin climbed up on the other side, and together they held her. She wasn't crying now. She was just silent and still, almost as though she were asleep, but her eyes were open. Utina and Corwin flanked her like a human shield, their arms thrown across her as if to ward off any further harm. Finally, after almost half a silent hour, Caitlin said softly, bleakly, to no one,
Mom and Dad will have to know now.
Said Corwin noncommittally.
Marty will tell them if I don't,
Kate went on, thinking out loud more than talking to any of those with her.
Dad...
Corwin trailed off, as though not certain how to phrase what he was thinking, and finally said,
Dad will be... Oh, this is going to sound awful. Relieved, sort of.
Kate glanced at him strangely, but said nothing, understanding that there was an explanation coming.
I didn't say anything because I didn't want to come off like I was trying to give you a guilt trip, said Corwin. But when you went away, Dad was really bummed. You guys were always so close. He wasn't expecting you to just up and go like that. He still thinks it must have been something he did. So to know that it was because of something else, well, it'll tear him up what that something else was, but at the same time, he'll be relieved. That the distance between you wasn't his fault. I don't know, maybe I'm not making any sense.
No, I understand. It's the tearing up.
She squeezed her eyes shut, shook her head.
Hasn't there been enough pain?
She asked in a desperate whisper.
It'll just go on hurting if you don't get it over with, Utina told her softly. Like I let my own problems fester for 4 months before opening up to you, remember? If I had trusted you sooner, I could have saved myself a lot of heartache.
Well, this is your own father. Surely...
Utina trailed off, then said,
No, I'm sorry. I have no business lecturing you about that. Fathers and daughters. I don't know anything about that.
Well, I do. And you're right, said Corwin. Kate, if you let this lie, then you'll go on being miserable, holding in this secret. And Dad will go on being miserable, thinking you left because you don't love him as much as you used to. If you bring it out, he'll rage, he'll cry, but he'll be there for you, just like we are. It'll be better in the end. You'll see.
I can't go down to dinner tonight.
That's okay, Utina told her. Well, tell the others you're not feeling well. No lie there. Once your brothers and sister go to bed, we can bring your parents here. In the meantime, one of us will always be nearby if you need anything.
I'm staying right here, Nall agreed. I won't leave you unless you tell me to.
Kate smiled weakly, ducked her head, and kissed the little dragon on top of his head.
Thank you, Nall, she murmured.
The house shook a little, and Corwin and Utina picked themselves up on their elbows almost in unison to glance across Kate at each other. Front door. Someone's home, Corwin observed. I guess we'd better get busy.
I guess so, Utina concurred. Kate, are you okay for us to leave you for a while?
I'll be okay with Nall here, Kate told them. Thank you. Both of you for standing by me.
Hey, said Corwin with a brave attempt at a grin. He leant down and kissed her softly on the cheek, then got to his feet and went on. What's a brother for?
Or a best friend, Utna added, kissing the other cheek. Why don't you try to get some rest?
She added as she got up. Then she scruffled Nall and added with only slightly forced cheer, Nall will chase away any bad dreams that come around.
Yeah, said Nall. They won't get past me.
Kate mustered a weak chuckle, let herself be tucked in, and cuddled up with the tiger and the dragon. By the time Utna and Corwin reached the door, she was breathing slowly and evenly, already asleep. Utna paused before closing the door, looking back. Then she shut it, leaned her back against it, and sighed.
Damn it, she said with feeling. I wish there was more I could do. I feel so useless.
Yeah, Corwin agreed wholeheartedly. But we're not doing too bad, considering there's nothing we can do. Utna gave him a strange look, and then somehow parsed his meaning and grinned a little.
God, I want to mess up your hair so bad it hurts, she said.
So go ahead, Corwin replied. I'm not proud. So at last she did. She'd been right about it. It was great hair to tousle, soft and thick, eminently muscible. Now that she'd done it once, she reflected, she'd have a much harder time resisting the urge to do it again. On the other hand, he didn't seem to mind. In fact, it gave him a little bit of a glow, which went some distance toward offsetting the still pinched pallor of his face in this instance.
You're a good guy, Utna told him again as they walked toward the stairs. How's your face?
I'll be okay, he said. You packed quite a wallop, though.
Sorry. You went all weird on me. I didn't know what else to do. You mentioned hell in there someplace, I think.
I was about to make an unwise promise, Corwin told her. You saved me a lot of trouble whacking me when you did. Thanks.
Heh. First time a guy's ever thanked me for slapping him, Utna observed.
Now they had reached the second floor, and as they crossed to the other stairs, she asked, What language was that?
My mother's, Corwin replied. Old Norse.
Norse? You mean like Vikings and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think anybody still spoke that, said Utna, though she admitted to herself as she did so that her only exposure to ancient Norse culture and history was through Kate's copy of Myths of the Vikings and the write-ups on Viking weapons in the Museum Replicas catalog.
Mom's family does, said Corwin. You'll meet her day after tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it, she said. They reached the living room to find Griffin sitting down with a book.
Oh, hello, he said. Shopping go all right?
Fine, said Corwin.
Where's Kate? Griffin wondered.
In her room, Corwin said. She, has a headache.
Griffin frowned. Oh, that's too bad. Maybe I should go see if she needs anything.
She just got to sleep, Mr. Hutchins, Utna told him, which made him wince again.
I'm sorry.
He waved it away again. That's okay, it's my problem, not yours. Call it a hang-up. Well, if she's sleeping, then I don't want to bother her. I hope it's not one of the really bad ones. She used to get terrible migraines when she was little, he explained. I hope she'd outgrown them.
I think it's just that she's still tired from the trip, Corwin told him. You know, try to do too much the first day back.
I hope so. Griffin nodded thoughtfully, then looked back at his son and said, By the way, what happened to the shovel? Dinner was a preoccupied affair for Corwin and Utna. Noll's absence was noted. Corwin explained that he was feeling especially lazy today and was probably sacked out on his treasure hoard. Of course, thought Utina, don't all dragons sleep on treasure hoards after all? Sylvie taunted Corwin mercilessly until Zoner finally told her to knock it off, at which point she switched to flirting so blatantly with Guy that it seemed almost to be causing the boy physical pain. Pris rolled her eyes a good deal and didn't say much. Leonard and Utina got into their first real conversation, a discussion of swords and their use. Len, like Kate, was very keen on the family kenjutsu form, and took the news that Utina had been a champion duelist at her old school with delight. He was, it seemed, always happy to talk shop on the subject of swordsmanship. Utina wasn't sure why she'd told him that, but he had the kind of face you could talk to. After some consideration, she chalked it up to that. After dinner, the younger children scattered. Len was off to bed early, having a full morning of sledding with his fellow Ragnarok products, the Shannon twins, Achika and Tenchi, planned. Pris and Sylvie darted off to Sylvie's parents' house to attempt a complicated scam that would, if successful, net them a second dinner. Guy, unable to believe his luck, retired to the room he normally shared with his sister to enjoy the rare treat of an evening of peace and quiet. "Can you handle things here?" Corwin asked Utina after dinner. "I've got something I have to get finished by tomorrow. It's for Cade. It's important." "You're not going to..." Utina began, but he cut her off. "No, it's nothing to do with him. I promised, didn't I? It's for Cade, not for me. Please?" She nodded. "Go for it. I've got things covered. Where can I find you if we need you?" "Downstairs," said Corwin. "Ask Dad." "Okay," she said, and clapped him on the shoulder as he passed her in the arch and headed for the den. Griffin fretted about Kate not getting any dinner, but was, having been convinced to do so, now determined to let her rest. Utina spent an uneasy evening in the living room, watching television with him. She wondered when Kate's mother was going to get home, and whether she should ask Griffin to hear Kate's story alone, or wait for her, and how she could approach him about going up to hear what his daughter had to say to him in the first place. She was just about to give it a try when a key rattled in the door, and then a woman entered, stomping snow off her boots and cursing fluently in mixed standard and German about the uselessness of the Yamaki field office. She carried a curious staff of golden metal, about as long as she was high, and possessed of a curious hooked head, which she left standing in the little corner made by the door of the coat closet. Griffin got up and went to embrace and kiss her, then helped her off with her bulky down jacket and introduced her. "This is Kate's roommate, Utina Tenjo," he said. "Utina? Kay Morgan, my wife, Kate's mother." Utina was going to bow and say it was nice to meet her, but the tanned athletic redhead stuck out a hand, so Utina modified her tactics accordingly, and was rewarded with another very satisfactory handshake. Good, solid handshaking people, Kate's parents. "Good to meet you, finally," said Kay. "Judging by her letters home, you and Kate get along pretty well, huh? A lot better than her last roommate," she added with a pained look. "I never actually heard what the deal was with her last roommate," Utina admitted. "So many people have said things like that I've been kind of afraid to ask."
"Ah," said Griffin, looking a trifle uncomfortable. "Well, Hiroe was, different," Kay finished for him.
"I think I was going to say difficult," Griffin mused. "That, too. Anyway, ask Kate about the significance of 80-cycle alternating current sometime, but make sure you stay an inch or two out of kicking distance."
Okay," Utina replied.
"By the way, where is Kate?" Kay wondered.
"Sleeping off a headache," Griffin said. "I hope it's not one of her old ones."
"Actually," said Utina, causing both of the elders to look at her curiously.
"That's not quite true," she went on. "Sorry, but... there's something Kate has to talk to you about, and she didn't want to worry the others, so...
We took the liberty of... She made a finish-the-line kind of gesture.
Bullshitting us? Griffin supplied. Utina nodded.
Hmm, said Griffin.
Must be important.
It is, said a grave voice from the stairs, and everyone turned to see Megazone descending then, his face like a thundercloud.
Maybe the most important thing she's ever had to tell you. You'd better go. All of you. Now.
Griffin and Kay had known him too long, and Utina had instincts too good to miss that tone of voice. Without a word, with growing dread on the faces of Kate's parents, they all went, leaving Zoner standing gloomily in the living room alone. Only later would it occur to Utina to wonder how the hell he'd gotten up there in the first place.
Utina had wondered beforehand if she would have to do most of the talking, but she didn't. Once an exhausted, drooping Nall was dismissed with many thanks to his bed, Utina merely sat cross-legged on Kate's bed next to her, held her hand, and nodded encouragingly from time to time. Slowly, painfully, the story came out. And when it had, Kate's parents sat in stunned silence, Griffin on the other edge of the bed with his arm around his daughter, Kay in Kate's desk chair.
Oh, my Christ, Griffin murmured, tears rolling down his face. Caitlin, I...
Kay slammed a fist down on the arm of the chair, levered herself to her feet, whirled and started for the door with murder in her eyes.
Mrs. Hutchins?
By the time Utina got that much, respectful, if inaccurate, out, Kay was already out of the bedroom and at the end of the hall.
Ah, damn, Ben growled, getting to his feet a little after Utina, who had already scrambled off the end of the bed and gone rushing down the hall.
Mom, no, Caitlin stammered, pulling herself up with her father.
Utina pounded down both flights of stairs after the fast-walking redhead, then skidded to a fast halt a step from the hallway in the living room. Kay had already pulled on her down jacket and shot Utina a harsh glare as the girl grabbed her arm.
Wait, please, what do you...
I'm doing what should have been done a year and a half ago. Kay spat, pulling her arm loose to zip off the front of her coat. Or a few hours ago, for that matter. Why the fuck didn't you finish him when you had the chance? You call yourself Kate's friend?
She picked up the gleaming golden rod she'd left leaning by the closet.
I'm going to finish the job you blew, kid. I'm going to hunt down that son of a bitch and show him what happens when you fuck with my family.
No! Utina shouted, and grabbed Kay by the arm again as she tried to push past.
No, that's not what Kate wants. Can't you see that?
Kay snarled and shoved, throwing Utina hard against the wall, right next to where Megazone was standing. She crumpled to the floor with a slightly dazed scowl, holding the back of her head.
All I see is my daughter in pain, and I don't need some wide-eyed kid telling me how to take care of my children, Kay barked.
Zoner stepped forward.
Kay?
Fuck off, Zoner.
Kay grabbed the front doorknob, twisted and pulled. Don't try to lecture me, and don't try to stop me.
She started to pull herself through the doorway. She immediately pushed herself away and backpedaled, swearing under her breath.
Ultimately, Hammer rumbled as he let himself in, pushing the door shut behind himself and standing between it and Kay. No one ever could.
He looked toward the side and his eyes locked with Utina's as she forced herself up to her feet. A chill raced through her. Good Lord, was this even the same man she'd met just a few hours ago? But she held her ground.
The secret's out, I see, Hammer continued. Good. That's a burden that should never be carried alone.
Son of a bitch, Kay muttered, shifting into an aggressive stance 2 steps away from him.
All right, Marty, spill it. Where is he? Where you'll never look, Hammer replied mirthlessly.
Caitlin made a small noise and gripped her father's arm. She wanted desperately to scream for them to stop, but even that one word refused to come, only a staccato, meaningless noise. Griffin, his face as hard and pale as scraped bone, patted her head and made soft shushing noises,
his eyes riveted on his wife.
"Wrong answer!" Kay whirled the cosmic rod into a ready position, triggering its sizzling light. Snarling, she leveled its shining crook at the interloper's head. Utina was too wrapped up in the tension of the situation, and becoming too inured to the weirdnesses surrounding this group of people, even to blink at the sight of it.
"Let's try this again. Where is he?" said Kay.
"Beyond your reach," he replied, his tone unchanging.
Kay's hands tightened, but her voice wasn't the one that spoke next.
"Mr. Rose?"
His head turned to regard Utina.
"Yes, Miss Tenjo."
"Please," she asked, stepping forward. We all need to know. What did you end up, doing with him?"
He watched her in silence for a few moments. She saw his eyes close as he drew a long breath, releasing it as a tired sigh.
"After a quick stop at the Kane Health Center," he explained, "to tend to that gratifying beating you laid on him, Mikey and I had a discussion. I presented a couple options for him, and he chose one."
"And which would that be?"
She detected a small smile in his voice, but not on his face, nowhere near his face, as he continued,
"It seems our friend, Mr. Carpenter, has been suppressing an altruistic streak. Why, just this afternoon I was on hand to see him selflessly dedicate the next 50 years of his life to the Zardon Far Legion. Quite amazing, those people. They ship out for the remotest parts of the galaxy practically the moment they sign up a new recruit."
He straightened, his cape parting as one of his arms emerged to snap a salute.
"Monsieur Charpentier has become a brave legionnaire who has joined the Legion to forget."
His previous stance returned as he completed,
"Hopefully to forget how to be a jackass."
"You," Kay hissed. "You smug fucking bastard," she roared, holding her weapon unnervingly still as the rest of her body shook with fury.
"How dare you cheat me?"
"Kay."
Zoner's hand closed around the shaft of the cosmic rod, its energy crackling and sizzling across his skin.
"I said fuck off, Zoner. This is between me and the goddamn self-righteous Boy Scout here."
"No."
The entire room watched with surprise as Utina marched out proudly, stopped directly between Hammer and Kay, and faced the redhead with her arms held wide.
"You move it or you lose it, little girl," Kay growled, the light from the cosmic rod threw harsh shadows on Utina's face.
"Then I lose it," Utina replied, her voice hard and uncompromising. She locked eyes with Kay and stood fast. "The only reason that guy's alive now is because I promised Kate I wouldn't do what I wanted to do. If someone's going to die for letting him live, damn it, you're going to have to start right here." She jabbed a thumb at her own chest. "Because I have no doubt that I did exactly what Kate wanted and what she still wants now. Don't you get it? There's been enough suffering."
"She's right, Kay," Megazone agreed, moving the rod away from Utina as Kay trembled. "She understands. You haven't been cheated, because it's not your revenge to take. If you go through with this, it'll be on Caitlin's head. Don't bring your daughter any more pain."
He released the rod and laid a hand on her shoulder, and she turned to look up at him.
"She doesn't need your revenge. She needs your love."
Utina watched in silence as Kay's eyes shimmered with a war raging within her soul, teetering on the brink of madness, a look with which she herself was far too familiar. Then, finally, something snapped. With a sigh, Kay's entire body sagged. The cosmic rod went dark, then fell to the rug with a soft, dull clang, Kay's arms falling to her sides. Caitlin did much the same as her mother, leaning on her father as he gathered her in his arm. Utina smiled with relief.
"Damn,"
Kay whispered to the floor, and looking balefully at her hands.
What I almost did. Ye fucking haw, Dirty Harry Morgan rides again. Red hair, 500 milligrams of Kilomax, and a bottle of bourbon, all wrapped up in a plastic bikini.
She sighed heavily again, wiping a hand down her face.
Must be our night for reopening old wounds. Aw, Marty, I'm sore.
That's as far as she got before his finger on her lips silenced her.
I know, Martin smiled. The hat was gone, the scarf pulled down, and the cape thrown back over his shoulders as he bent forward to look her in the eye. It's not the first time I've had to talk to your blind rage, remember? She's not invited over to dinner tomorrow night anyway. You, on the other hand, had damn well better be there along with everyone else.
He lowered his hand, and Kay kissed him before he could straighten up.
I will. We all will. Thanks. Give our love to Aiko.
Martin nodded again, rising to his full height as he gave her a light push on the shoulder.
Go to her, he said.
And Kay did just that, discarding her coat on the nearest piece of furniture and helping Ben surround Caitlin by the time Martin was at the door.
Mr. Rose.
He turned, pausing with his hand on the doorknob.
Yes, Miss Densho?
Utrina fumbled with words for a moment, then snapped her heels together and bowed.
Thank you, she said, for helping me keep my promise.
Martin nodded.
And thank you, he replied, for your courage. You're a rare breed, Miss Tenjo. Kate's chosen her friends well.
So I've seen. Utrina smiled, then glanced aside for a moment before looking up at him again.
About...
His gesture quieted her instantly, and he spoke softly.
Not now. This isn't just between the two of us.
Utrina followed his gaze to where Caitlin, Griffin, and Kay were retreating to Kate's bedroom.
It's not later enough just yet. Later.
He pulled the door open and mounted his hat back atop his head, even though she could have sworn he wasn't even carrying it a moment ago.
See you tomorrow, Miss Tenjo. Bring your appetite, and someone else's if you can.
With a quiet click, the door closed behind him. Utrina blew out a long breath, then turned to Zoner, who stood watching her speculatively from the archway to the kitchen, his hands in the pockets of his coat.
Thank you, too, she told him. I've never seen you that serious before.
Megazone crossed the room, cupped the side of her face in one big hand, stood looking down at her for a moment, and smiled, very gently and a bit wistfully.
What you usually see, he said quietly, is my way of coping with all that I see, all that I must do.
Then he bent, kissed her on the cheek, and released her, crossing the room and opening the door. He paused in the doorway, turned, and said over his shoulder,
You're welcome.
Then the door closed again, and she was alone. Utrina gave another great sigh and looked around, noting the clock on the wall over the couch.
Only 11:30? She felt like she'd lived a half dozen days without stopping.
She wondered where Corwin had disappeared to. Where he'd been heading with that look of cold determination on his face. He'd sworn he wouldn't try to take revenge, and Utrina already had the strong impression that Corwin was a promise keeper. So where was he? What was he up to?
Something for Kate, he'd said.
Ah, well. Maybe he didn't want his sister to see him cry. Teenage boys were funny that way. She wondered if she should try to find him, talk to him, but decided that probably wouldn't help. He wouldn't want her to see him cry either, and there was no sense in embarrassing him needlessly. She picked up the cosmic rod from where Kay had dropped it, weighed it thoughtfully in her hand, then stood it back where it had been by the closet. Yawning, Utrina trudged up to the second floor, stood looking up the stairs to the third for a long, long moment, and then went to the guest room, hoping sleep would come for her quickly.